Welcome, friends, to a moment of wonder and recognition. On this special day, March 17th, 2024, we are graced once again by the presence of Robert Wilson, who brings us more everyday miracles. In this sermon, we continue to explore the beauty and awe of the seemingly ordinary moments that, upon closer inspection, reveal themselves to be truly miraculous. Let us journey together with open hearts and minds, ready to witness the extraordinary in the everyday.
I am love. I am peace. I am joy. I am enough. I am who I am. And I reach out and recognize that same I am-ness is in each one here, in each one around about us, in all the earth, and all there's naught but God. God the good, in whom we live and move and have our being, who is our being. No matter what happens, all is God. God the good. And reach out now into the greater world, into Tyler, into Texas, the United States, north and south, east and west, until we have the whole world enveloped into the bubble of love that we are. And see this wholeness of God raining down with great, great compassion, great love, great abundance, satisfying, transforming, bringing forth the new. And see the fact, the truth. Everyone, everything is as it needs to be and is unfolding as it needs to be. Even those who don't realize it yet, we hold that wholeness open to them. We forgive our own, what we thought were mistakes. We realize it all had to happen to get us here to this point in time. So here we are. Holy thine, O God, for truly you and I are one. You and God are one. Everyone here and everyone there is. And affirm with me, please. And so it is. Amen. Well, we have an interesting scripture I chose today. I don't know if that's available to put on the screen. If it is. Oh, there it is. Yeah. So let's just read it together. This is from another saying from the Gospel of Thomas. This is number 2. Jesus said, "Let him who seeks continue seeking until he finds. When he finds, he will become troubled. When he becomes troubled, he will be astonished, and he will rule over the all." Now, isn't that kind of an unusual statement? I mean, we're to seek until we find, but then we're going to be confused, but then we get astonished, and then we rule over all. Well, let's start with ruling over. What does rule mean? Well, have dominion over. Over what? What's our kingdom? I suggest our kingdom is our physical, emotional, mental selves, who we appear to be when we look in the mirror, right? And I look, I think I see a lot of people. I know the truth, of course. You're not here individuals. You're one wholeness. You're all God. And we can connect from that wholeness, that one God, that truth, that love, let's call it intelligent love, if you will, is who we are. So let's see where we're going to go with that then. How can we turn that into something that's more meaningful? Now, one thing I'm really passionate about, I love this book, The Five Principles. That is so good. Every time we've gone through it, it's like we've never gone through it before. We keep finding more and more and more meaning in there. And what are the first two principles? Everything is God. God is all there is. And each one of us, you and me, and all that is also God. Now, that leads into where we're wanting to go with this scripture, because if that's so, and I believe it is, then how are we to live as that? And I find it useful, I guess it's my science background, I like to chase the evidence. And so to me, you know, I get a lot of evidence of quote, truth from people who are mystics, who are spending their life researching what is truth, what is really the reality of being. And I'm not a great believer in the past of what people have said, because I recognize a whole lot of embellishment of what's really ends up being published. But what I tend to believe is the people who now are sharing their truth. And I know a lot of you are familiar with Ajahn Chah, and he's one of my mystics I want to refer to. And he has two techniques that are really kind of fascinating. He has contemplation and meditation. And if you contemplate, he asks you, contemplate deeply, who are you? Now, that's kind of an unusual question, isn't it? I mean, who are you? But go really deeply. I mean, the you, I'll give you a hint, the you who you are is not what you call yourself. It's not who you see when you look in a mirror. It's not who other people say you are. It's not even what you've learned. That's his first technique, contemplation. The second one is meditation. And meditation is really interesting too, because you don't do something really fancy and sit in the lotus position, om, and you know, to do that sort of thing. Instead, we're to be quiet and listen. Be quiet and listen. Now, there's a major hint there. To me, being quiet says, go beyond everything I've ever learned, I've ever experienced, I've ever felt. It's just not that I don't think of those things or I don't have those experiences, but I'm not going to pay any attention. Excuse me. And if I don't pay any attention, then why do I pay attention to the context in which everything is happening? I'm talking, you're hearing my words, right? Well, there's a silence that if the silence wasn't there, you couldn't hear words. Are you with me?
Yes.
And everything is like that. All of our perceptions, all of our everything. If I didn't have an awareness, and I'll use that word, I want it to be much bigger ultimately. If I didn't have an awareness of what was perceived, heard, mentioned, talked about, told, if I didn't have an awareness of this feels solid, you're there, I would have no knowledge of anything, right? Would you agree? I mean, if you forget about everything we've been taught, if I had no awareness, I'm a brand new baby. Now, that's really neat, because if I could get into the awareness of a brand new baby and just go with my perceptions, at best I have sensations. That's a concession, because I don't know a language yet. So, you know, I don't know anything about what anything means. But right now, as a brand new baby, if you put on that, I won't pay attention to my thoughts and what I learned, Just that awareness. But wait a minute, we said all is God. Are we saying awareness is God? Well, it's yes, and it's more than that. See, we are God, so we have this characteristics of God. We can create. What do we create? Well, we create from our thoughts, from our feelings, from what we believe. The bad news, I guess, about that is only maybe 1% of our awareness is in the conscious self. And maybe the rest is unaware. And so one of the nice things about unity is we learn that if something is happening that you don't like, let that be a doorway into change our deep thinking. So we use affirmations and denials to do that. We started out with one of that. You know, God the good is my reality, in whom I live and move and have my being, and no matter what happens, God the good is. Well, so Ajahn's pointing at something seemingly disconnected with God is all and awareness, but let's be broader on words. Remember we said we're going to act like little children? What if awareness is just pointing towards a greater truth that's so true with a capital T, that it goes beyond anything you could use words for? What if it's the same thing that we talk about when we say God is love? The same thing we talk about when God is consciousness. God is knowing. It opens the door to how we can start to live more practically here, now, as that unique manifestation of who we are. Now, I'd like to also share a little bit more, get back to some of my notes, of Robert Sparrow. Have any of you listened to any of his YouTube stuff? I love him. If you really would like a treat, you can look him up. Takes much the same position Ajahn Chante does. Let's see if I can find that. Let me read something. Everything arises from and dissolves back into awareness like an empty, luminous, open, endless, space-like field. And words like awareness point to a non-thing beyond thought, time, and space. Everything is from that same field. Now, what does that field feel like? Well, if you look at it from the mind, we could say, I am. If I look at it from the heart, I experience it as love, or peace, or presence, or joy. If I look at it as outward, I see it in you as love, being. I look at things, I see beauty. So you get an idea. In other words, our experiences are a reflection of this greater, deeper beingness that we are. Now, if you want, you can do years and years and years of practicing, contemplation and meditation. And honest, I've done it, I don't know, I've lost track. Close to 50 years, I bet. And I found out that the big mistake is efforting. And don't we all fall into that hole? I mean, we effort to accomplish something, right? And I've discovered that the truth is just being, surrendering to allow what's happening, and then to stay conscious. Now what? How can I explain that? There's a, and this is probably going to be a little crazy to you. There's a teacher who lived in England, passed away, I think in the 70s or so, had a technique called no head. Now, if that doesn't confuse you, I don't know what else I could say, you know. But he's got a meditation technique I want to share with you. It's going to be really brief, so you may have to just take it home and practice to see what it's like. But bear with me, because this will give you in time a sense of what it is to live in this expanded awareness at the context, all is awareness, and all is happening in awareness. So see if you can take your finger. This is going to be a double finger pointing exercise. and point at something. I'm looking at the chair. And so see how the chair has shape, it has color. The rug has shape and a color, a unique extent. Bring your pointing back. I'm looking at my leg, and I come up my leg. But if I now point at my head, if I give up everything I know about my head, what's called head, I don't see my head. With me? What do I perceive? It's empty. It's vast. It's silent. Now, let's do this. I'm looking still at my head, so I'm seeing this vastness, this openness. Now let's look out simultaneously. And I'm gonna hold on so I don't fall down. but do it with me. Look simultaneously inward and outward. And you get a sense of how all of us, everything here, including your body, your inward and your outward experience, are all in this emptiness, in this wholeness. And my experience with that, as I do that more and more, there seems to be a growth in my ability to be more loving, more compassionate, more open to what is, more aware that virtually everything I've learned is just conditioning. I've been told what things are. And, you know, the truth of the matter, let's take a simple example. Is a tree a tree? I mean, that's just a word. How could that capture treeness? You know what I'm saying? I mean, the roots, the air, the sun, you know, I mean, you need a whole universe to have a tree. And see, that's the same thing for you and me and everything that is. Our perceptions think we're limited, separate. That's what we've learned. It's been really useful because the human system, the human organism, the human species has evolved to the point, and we needed the limited perceptions so we could survive in physicality. But now we're at a unique point in time. Because of fast communication, the internet, huge numbers of people are asking the question, who am I really? How am I to live my life? Maybe some of you have heard the concept of being enlightened. There are lots of opinions of what that means. And, you know, I can't speak from having been enlightened, so I can only share. But it would seem to say you have a operating ground of knowing that I am that God source here in a human body, and I don't have to believe any thoughts or feelings or experiences of what I'm interpreting is happening. Instead, I can watch the thoughts come up, watch the feelings come up, watch the interpretation come up. But for the first time in life, I could choose consciously how to respond instead of just reacting. Now, some of you probably remember back in the 70s, I think they did a lot of research in transcendental meditation, if I was right. They would meditate, had a large group of people meditating on peace, and they noticed that a lot of the indications of violence would go down in that area as long as they were meditating on peace. And they came up with an algorithm. I may not be accurate, but what I remember was they said if a square root of 1% of the people in that environment were holding that meditation of peace, the incidence of violence, for instance, went way down. Now, what about the world if we apply that today with what seems to be happening, where millions of people are really getting really, really excited about the possibility of waking up? Many are, I think. Well, how many are of us? I don't know, 10 billion perhaps, a good round number. If I do the math right, square root of 1%, I think it just takes around 1 million people to be awakened, to consciously know, no matter what, I'm the God presence in this unique form, and appropriate response moment to moment is available to me. In Christian terms, we'd say the Holy Spirit will guide us. But to me, that's almost two separation. It's really the God presence, who I am, who you are, knows what to do for the greatest good of everyone. So I would ask you then, what kind of a world are we going to create with this massive, massive change in awareness of humanity? And I suggest we will create a new civilization based on love, based on equality, based on appreciation of unique differences that each one is. An appreciation for that uniqueness is a contribution that's needed. If it wasn't there, we all would be suffering less from it. What kind of a world would we have? Would it not be seeing heaven on earth? I mean, can you imagine? What if the world was populated by just 1 million people who were consciously Christed? Wow. Can you think big enough to embrace that? I think it's just amazing. So we're saying what? We're saying our thoughts or our feelings and perceptions aren't what we think they are. See, we're not thinking truly, as it were. We're not feeling truly, really. And we're not perceiving truly. And of course, that's how we've learned. Evolution needed it. So we have a physical body now ready, who understands not only that we're aware, but we're aware of being aware. And see, that opens the door then to this other way of dealing with our thoughts and feelings and experiences. And so for the first time, humanity has an opportunity to truly become human beings, not human doings. Which gets me back to my meditation. You see, I found out there's really nothing I need to be doing other than being still and allow. And if there's some doing to be done, I'm guided into doing. And I've never been so relaxed in my life once I really got that. And I admit I'm coming in and out of it again. You know, it's a work in progress. But can you get a sense of how wonderful that is? So here in Tyler Unity Center, we have the opportunity, and we all are well on that way, I think. This is an incredible embodiment of love, of acceptance, of diversity, not forcing someone else, this is right and this is wrong. See, we need that to help each of us get out of our stuckness and thinking, oh, I got the truth. I can't wait to tell you what the truth is. But golly, we each got to find the truth, and it's important that we live our own truth. And together, how can we let that become a greater truth even? How can we become more inclusive, more loving, more appreciation of differences, and see how those differences are our very strengths. So I just suggest let's not worry so much about being human doings. I mean, we've all overlearned doing, I think. I'm guilty, believe me. If you read that bio, you know, gosh, he's way busy doing. But luckily, I've lived long enough that I realized, and I needed to do that to get me here. But what matters is the being. And last night, I had an opportunity to listen to some incredible music, some classic music. And I was catapulted immediately into this wholeness that all there is. And I wasn't doing anything. I was just allowing. Now, let me give you an example. This is a personal example, so forgive the personal example, but of how life sometimes can be. One thing, we're saying living on the edge. We're not saying, I really don't know moment to moment what's going to happen. But we're saying, yes, here I am, Lord. I'm willing. A friend Jim and I had an acquaintance, a good friend of Jim's, just an acquaintance of mine. His name was Byron, and he was dying. And Jim was very concerned. Jim was coming from a pretty fundamentalist Christian perspective, and was concerned that Byron maybe hadn't accepted Jesus Christ as a savior. And Jim knew I was a minister, didn't know anything about my background or anything, but so in his what he knew, a minister could be helpful, right? So he asked, would I come to Byron's and see what I could do? And I didn't know what I could do. I had no idea. But I just had a strong feeling, yes. So I said, okay, yes. So we got to Byron's, and his wife let us in, and he's laying in his bed up in the second floor. And I knew, you know, Jim had explained what he wanted to accomplish. So anyway, we see Byron there, and so I say, Jim, what we need to do is you pray silently, and I'll go within and do my thing. I didn't say any more than that. And I did. I went within, aligned. Then I opened my eyes. I looked at Byron. Now, honest, this is my experience. Byron was in this deep coma. I saw him sit up, open his eyes, winked at me, big smile on his face, laid back down. I said, Jim, he's got it. It's fine. And we left. And he passed, I think, with the next day, less than 24 hours. I had no idea what would happen. You see, I just said yes. And, you know, I could story after story, and that too is a work in progress. But because why? Why is it hard? Well, it's hard only because we've spent all of our life up to now learning what everything was, taking everything literally. And you can imagine me as an engineer. I mean, Peggy can tell you to this day. I think only once, this is a very digression, but it's relevant. For April Fool's Day, even though I know it's coming, she's only once has she not gotten me. Because she'll take advantage of, you know, Robert the Liberal. but I'm ready for you this year, pun. Well, what are we to do with all this? I have to admit that realizing that all is awareness, consciousness, knowing, was quite a shock. I had a lot of trouble. Where's the love in that for a while? Until I realized it's my words that are limiting me. And this whole idea of I need to get out of what this meaning is and get into the sense of wholeness. And that's what the love is, you see. there's no separation. We're talking agape love. We're not talking romantic love. We're talking so inclusive that there's no separation. So I thought what we use for scripture fits pretty well. Let him who seeks continue seeking until he finds. When he finds, you'll be troubled. But the trouble transforms into astonishment. And he will rule over all. And so let it be. Namaste.
Thank you, friends, for joining us in this heartfelt exploration of More Everyday Miracles with Robert Wilson. As we conclude our gathering on this March 17th, 2024, may the insights and revelations shared today encourage you to find joy, wonder, and gratitude in the simple moments of life. For further spiritual growth and community connection, please visit our website. We invite you to deepen your engagement with us by visiting our Facebook page and subscribing to our free weekly newsletter. And if you find yourself near our location, we warmly welcome you to join us in person for more enriching experiences and fellowship. Copyright 2024. All rights reserved. May the awareness of everyday miracles enrich your journey, filling each day with awe and appreciation for the world around us.